Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. I am honored to have my friend George Weiner, who is the chief whaler of Whole Whale, on the podcast today. George, thank you for being with us.
Thrilled to be on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's really coming full circle. It was great to get reconnected a couple weeks ago by way through the NIO conference. And I know I was on your podcast years and years ago, and I always really appreciate that. And even before we hit record here, you were giving me awesome just business advice. I know you've been at it longer than I have, and I really appreciate you always being in my corner. So I'm really excited to feature you today.
Well, I was thrilled when you reached back out, because there's a valley that you have to make it through as starting a business or starting a nonprofit, where you have to find product market fit. You have to find people that work for you. You have to slay dragons. And then, by the way, only 20% of us make it to 5 years. So I'm happy to help. And I'm glad to see you really starting to come out on the other side here. It's great.
I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot to me. And we can go through that. But while I've got you here, I really wanted to make this valuable for our listeners, which really comprise a couple thousand or so of the nonprofit organizations that we support at Charity Charge. And I know today you're going to talk about your 2021 nonprofit advertising benchmark study, and you've got tons of experience that you can share here and expertise. So with that, would you mind sharing a bit about your background and what Whole Whale has been all about for so many years now?
Yeah, happy to. So as you mentioned, I'm the chief whaler of Whole Whale. You can find us at wholewhale.com, and we're a B Corp nonprofit focused digital agency. And we essentially say, what is the number that matters most to you? Let's make it go up. We help with analytics, making sure that we understand the ROI of everything we're doing. Digital advertising, as per this report, digital advertising comes in quite a bit, be it with the Google Ad Grant or actually the pay-to-play game of putting ads into the ecosystem and hoping good things happen. And then we also help with digital fundraising in addition to that for our clients. So we've been at it for, over a decade now. Prior to that, just really quickly on me, I was the chief technology officer of DoSomething.org and learned quite a bit there about how we can, as an industry, leverage data and tech to increase impact, and really kind of fired me up to get building Whole Whale.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I want to jump into it. I mean, you all put out this 2021 nonprofit advertising benchmark study. What did you learn from that? What do you think are relevant to organizations that we work with, and obviously, you know, organizations at large?
Yeah, let's cut right to it. You know, I don't want to bury the lead here. It's just, the question is, should we spend on ads? Very simply, like, hey, there's the Google Ad Grant, which is $10,000 a month in kind. If you haven't heard of this before, by all means, take advantage of the Google Ad Grant. You can find that.
Yeah, go for that too, because I think I know a lot of the organizations we work with. I mean, this is one of the biggest challenges that we see at Charity Charge, and what I'm eager to try to keep solving, is that anyone out there that has founded a nonprofit or is running a nonprofit or works in a nonprofit is super passionate about what they're doing. They are dedicated to the cause. They generally know how to really serve the mission and serve the population that they're trying to help. But the business, the operational, the fundraising, the advertising side of stuff can be really challenging. So I think a lot of groups, I know they know of Google and they know that they go on and probably search for things, but what's advertising grants all about that Google offers?
Yeah, so really quickly, the Google Ad Grant is $10,000 in search ads per month, use it or lose it. There are other caps on it, such as a max bid of $2 and a number of other things. We've got an online course dedicated to helping people go from 0 to 60, free resources as well on figuring out the Google Ad Grant. And if you are an educational institution, you don't qualify. If you are a hospital, you don't qualify. And there are certain caveats like that. But for most nonprofits, this is a great way to sort of get additional awareness around keywords and topics, not just sort of, hey, donate to us, which actually won't drive that much traffic. But let's say you're trying to reach parents, say you're trying to reach teachers, say you're trying to spread awareness about a certain cause or disease. Well, this is a great sort of arrow in the quiver and way to bring in and build extra attention for your organization, you know, use it as you will. And again, you can find that, you know, chase it down on our site, and we'll send some links for your show notes on that. So yeah, Google Ad Grant, super powerful. I'd say there's a diminishing return to scale. So if you have dollar signs flashing in your eyes, being like, oh my gosh, we can get $10,000 and put it into our bank account. Like, not how it works. Again, it's just an ad credit. You run it, you probably, most organizations won't be able to spend nearly half of it, but it's something more than nothing. And by the way, also for you financials out there, gets added to your in-kind amount, which can increase the overall number that you report in terms of your overall revenue.
That's amazing. That I did not know.
This brought to you by The More You Know. Yes. So there are some grants when you apply for them, they say, what is your overall total revenue? And some don't exclude in-kind.
Right.
And this would classify as in-kind. So yeah, it wouldn't be bad to add an extra $120,000 to that, especially if that grant then is saying like a percentage of your application can qualify as that.
Sure. That's great. Well, in this study, what were some of the things that you learned? What are...
Oh yeah, the study.
Let's get into that. We want to know.
I have to shout out to CauseIQ. CauseIQ.com is a leading data platform for nonprofits. And if, like, frankly, if you want to know anything about any nonprofit, CauseIQ, they're awesome. We worked with them on identifying organizations between 1 million and 10 million in revenue. And we found about 7,171 organizations, to be exact, that also had employees working there that had not total reliance on just government grants. So we're trying to find in our minds this sort of nonprofit really operating in the field of needing to find donors, providing a direct service. We eliminated things like, you know, membership clubs and things that have easy revenue models already built into them, like golf clubs and things like that. We kind of removed those and really focused on what we were trying to find, which was very simply how many organizations are spending on ads. And what we found was that 60% of this study group, 60% of them chose to spend on advertising. And of the ones that did spend, so basically of that 60%, over 4,000, the median spend was $12,000, which, you know, is sort of interesting. It speaks to like, wait a minute, if we're going to spend, let's spend about $1,000 a month to start figuring out where there might be value. And with that median spend, I think it's important to also note that this is coming from, it's not just saying like, oh, they spend on Facebook or spent on Google. This is according to the Form 990, you know, line 11E, if you want to get specific, of advertising and promotion. And this is publicly available, whatever your nonprofit, I could find out what you're spending because 990s are beautiful. It's publicly disclosed. So all of these data aggregated, analyzed, and we're just trying to come up with this sort of answer, especially during budgeting season of like, wait a minute, do organizations like us spend on ads? And if so, pull that thread. And I'll pause there because we have tons of findings. And by the way, the entire study is available at wholewhale.com/advertising for free.
I know that, you know, you did this study and there's a lot of the findings from it. What are some things that you've found have been actionable, like advice that you've offered to nonprofits you work with, or some of the things you've heard from other nonprofits? I mean, what might be some takeaways that actually can help organizations from this?
I would say it was interesting paying attention to the types of organizations. So we did one piece in particular, which was ad spend broken out by whether or not the nonprofit was founded in this century or last century. So obviously year 2000 cut off. And we found that organizations in last century were more likely not to have ads. And just controlling for everything else, like they just were more likely not to have ads, which was why I found very interesting because it was 4% basis points different. And I was like, whoa, that's a pretty big difference. And for no other reason than I think there's a potential bias toward being founded in a time by a founder even that just doesn't think that there's value there. And the truth of the matter here is that over this period of time, over the last even decade, social media platforms for nonprofits are no longer social platforms. The organic reach has fallen off a cliff and they are pay to play. There's diminishing return to posting that next post, to investing those next 5 hours, frankly. And so one of those big takeaways is that there's a lot of nonprofits, 60% in this study, that are really realizing that, like, you know what, just having a social media intern or social media communications plan without spending money is frankly asking them to fight with one arm behind their back. And, you know, so I think we're starting to see this trend. And then again, for our clients, we can actually segment it down to the different types of causes and industries inside of the nonprofit ecosystem that they're focusing on. So are you, you know, arts related? Are you advocacy related? And where those spends also break down and have, again, different benchmarks inside of that.
Can you think of, just to make it granular, appreciate you sharing all that, can you think of a nonprofit or two that you've worked with? And can you kind of walk us through the strategy behind their, how you set up their AdWords campaign and or maybe did different SEO content, things of that sort? Because I know you had mentioned in this, you know, you're not just going to put up, there's branded keywords and then there's non-branded keywords. And I think one of the things you said is, you know, if you just go after the keyword of donate to and, you know, insert the name of your the organization, it may not be successful. So how are groups actually having success with this?
With regard to spending ads. So let's say you're ready to take that step forward. And our hope with this study was that there's somebody on the communications team being like, yes, yes, I know. There is actually like concrete data that may suggest and make the case that say, let's just put 12K to test next year. And I think this is important because it depends on what your objective is, but let's keep it simple and say, we want to raise more money. Let's just be honest. I want to take $1 and turn it into $2 using the magical printing press that is digital advertising. That is possible. It's absolutely possible. The way I would approach it is as follows. Thinking about acquisition for your audience as follows, as in getting an email, getting the permission to talk to somebody. So the initial reaction may be, oh, all I have to do is say, donate to us, you know, and like put it against these keywords and tell these people to donate and get money. That might work. That might work a little bit in Q4 when it's top of mind. And by the way, if you're remarketing to an existing audience that already knows you, that may work. I like the better plan of saying, can you, for let's say $2, acquire a person who is interested and may become more interested in your organization, get their email, put them on a aware to care cycle, meaning you bring them in, you nurture them up the ladder with email communications and messages of opportunities to give, and can you get them to donate in the first 45 days? Can you acquire that email for $2 and then convert 1 out of 10 of them? And if you do that, it's just a math game, right? If you're able to solicit $150 donation from those 10 people, you're making money and you just repeat. So I think it is, I think it's incumbent upon a fundraising team, a communications team to try this. Because by the way, building that audience is the most valuable audience. And when I say audience, I mean the people that you have the permission to talk to. The people's email, that permission is huge. And so when you can exchange money for those relationships, and then those relationships have a certain percent conversion rate, you have got an economic formula that can be repeated. And I just want more organizations to take a shot on goal and stop just giving away free content to Mark Zuckerpants and his metaverse-tasticness, right? Like, and just say, hey, if you are spending time, you're spending money already. You should be working more strategically because Facebook for nonprofits is not a social media platform. It's an advertising platform, and it's a very good one.
Just curious, like going there, because we're bringing up Facebook. I know that Google has been running this program for a while. Do you know what's in it for them? I mean, are they able to deduct this off of their, they consider it a donation and they're able to get the deduction and or have like Facebook or other platforms, have they ever considered doing this? It's sort of some sort of like ad grant.
Yeah. So let's tack back to like, so when I'm talking about ad spend, I mean, literally this is in your budget. Mm-hmm. You are spending it. There's a credit card, money goes out, and like, you better be paying attention. Now, if we go to the Google ad grant land, yes, this is completely different. You don't pay for it. It's in kind. It's absolutely awesome. And the motivations are many fold. And, you know, we've put out content in the past about this, but starting in 2005 around Hurricane Katrina is the genesis-ish of it. It has changed a lot over the years, but they realized fundamentally as a platform that, by the way, nonprofits just don't have equal footing when it comes to SEO and visibility. And if they can raise the profile of nonprofits around relevant terms that are associated with them, hint, fake news, hint, disinformation campaigns. If we can have great organizations whose public mission is literally to reach, connect, and, you know, help different audiences, it is, you know, it is values aligned, I would say. Facebook has had ad credits, Facebook ad credits that they have given out in tranches and buckets in random ways. It has never been formalized. I would say on the Facebook front, their biggest contribution has been the Facebook fundraising engine that's in play over there. Over $3 billion, I think, to date. And that number keeps going up. And by the way, it's transaction free. Why they do that is because when they get somebody's credit card, they get a tremendous amount of economic data on people that give. And they can use that engine, meaning the donation asks, as a way of getting more credit cards from more users into their system. Like, that's the reasoning there. For Google, there has been, if I'm being pessimistic, like, does it drive up the overall, you know, costs of the ecosystem? It's a drop in the bucket, frankly, for how big Google is. They have a money printing machine. They're just, they play by different rules.
Yeah, yeah. Well said there. What a great business model, right? Hey.
So is that this money machine? It just spits out.
It's great.
Yeah. Not tell financial about, advice. This is financial advice.
George, tell us about karaoke crashing.
I'm so happy you brought this up. Ironically, not why my voice is hoarse right now. That's because I have two little children who are perennially coughing. So karaoke crashing is just a joke that we have on our services and things that we provide. But yes, pre-pandemic, there were these things called karaoke's. Now follow me. You pack into a small room with low ventilation, low lighting, and you share a microphone and you pass it around. You know, it was something that we enjoyed doing at conferences, and we would book these rooms for holidays and for parties. And we actually had a karaoke budget because I think it is a great way to connect with others and sing your face off. And no matter what, you should never stop believing.
Never stop believing. I love that. Well, I hope if you ever come to Austin, we'll be able to do it. We've got the Highball here, which has karaoke rooms and is a classic place.
I'm a Dueling Pete's guy, though. Oh, I like the okay. I like the Dueling Pete's.
You know what?
For my money, and singing along with the crowd is also a
win. I'm a big fan of Pete's Piano Bar as well. You know what? I'm gonna research, but they might have shut down and then reopened actually during. You know, last year during the height of COVID and everything. But you know what? I think they're back open. Okay. Pete's Dueling Piano Bar. They're back. All right. Deal. Next time you're in Austin. You know, one of the other things that we want to make sure that we drive awareness to our nonprofit organizations is the Whole Whale University. Do you mind, you know, telling us a little bit about that?
Oh, shamelessly shilling our Whole Whale University? Yeah, not at all. Look, we have a whole bunch of like over 45 different on-demand courses that cover things like ad grants, digital advertising. Right now, our end of year annual report, which is literally an amazing, beautifully designed annual report in Canva, plus a guide on it, like will just save you tons of time and let you focus on what you're trying to create. We built out Whole Whale University because I'll just be honest, as an agency, we have just gotten more expensive over the years and can't work with the number of nonprofits we wish we could. And so we literally use our own training courses for new staff that join our team so that they can learn our tactics. And frankly, if you have the sort of energy and will and interest, like you can really go pretty far up the learning curve with a lot of different topics that we put out there. So we just try to put our best content out there. Actually, this, you know, we have for the nonprofit advertising benchmark study, I mentioned it's free, but we actually have the full data set and dashboard if you want to do your own benchmarking as a part of that university. And that's included in there. And we've got some really fun things coming in Q1 as well.
That's awesome. Is there anything, I know we've, you know, been chatting about a handful of different things in this interview. Is there anything right now, if you just take a moment to reflect, that I haven't asked you that you would like to share, or anything that you think is relevant? Either it could be anything, including or related to karaoke, but is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
We actually created a tool recently for free. It's the inclusivitytool.com. Inclusivitytool.com allows you to check any page of your site or maybe something that you're putting out there for non-inclusive language. We've amassed a database of over 800 different, you know, words that fall along the lines of different classifications that may touch on gender or health. And, you know, you'd be surprised at the amount of language that we use that we don't fully understand. And we just wanted to collate that and then create a quick way for nonprofits and general organizations to quickly understand what the language they're using, the background, etymology, and then make the judgment call of whether or not this language is welcoming or not. So inclusivity tool is something we've been pushing recently.
Wow, I'm running charitycharge.com through it.
Uh-oh.
As we speak. See what comes back. This is really cool. And this was born out of, how long ago did you launch this?
We have been iterating on it, but we launched in Q1. For this quietly, and then have been working with a number of different DEI experts in our general research and improving this tool, because there's a lot out there. And, you know, I think we all have the best intentions, but frankly, if you wrote content a decade ago, you were just using different language. And I think there are a lot of nonprofits that have, you know, well-intentioned content that they have created for their audience, and now they're being judged by a today standard, which is excellent. We should be moving there, but checking 100 pages for over 800 words and nuance can be overwhelming. And I find when people get overwhelmed, they tend to sort of go two directions, and one more so than the other, which is, you know, put your head in the sand. And I don't think that's, a long-term strategy.
Definitely not. I want to just make sure everyone knows, that if you're interested in learning more about anything that George shared, you can hop on to wholewhale.com. Is there any other way that people should contact you or anything else you want to share about that, George?
No, that's the best way to get in touch. We have a delightful contact form, which you can find. And hopefully, you know, the various tools that I mentioned, we can provide links in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and your podcast, I mean, you have 266 episodes now, so I am envious. So cool that you've had that consistency. Let me ask you that as we round out this podcast interview. What what were your expectations? It's sort of a question around, like, what were your expectations when you started the podcast versus now? And or just what are some of the macro, like, takeaways? Is there anything top of mind about how it's morphed over the years? Because I think you're in pretty rare territory to have, you know, almost 300 episodes. It's pretty amazing. I've seen a lot of people start podcasts and not finish them, you know, maybe put out 10, 20, 30, 40 episodes. But this is pretty cool that you've just kept it as one of your long running activities.
Yeah, there's a lot of different answers to that. The short is, when I was a kid, I wanted to be on the radio. My late stepfather was on the radio, and I believe in doing what makes you happy and what you wanted to do as a kid. And if you do that, it doesn't feel like work. I think the other side is, there's so much of our content that is a mile wide. We've got a YouTube channel that does pretty darn well. We've got, you know, over 100,000 people accessing the site every single month. But those are, like, I feel too ephemeral, too quick to really get as deep as you need to in terms of tackling a lot of these social impact causes, nuance, guests, stories, and I enjoy it. And by the way, you know, it doesn't get nearly that many in terms of downloads comparatively. However, the depth of content we end up with, but also the access to individuals. Like, you know, I talked to one of my mentors, Seth Godin, on episode, I think it was 100, and it was awesome. Like, I had the excuse to, you know, have dialogue with Seth Godin, and like incredible, like yourself, entrepreneurs at the beginning of their journey that start a relationship. I was going to have that conversation anyway. Why not record it?
Right. I love it. That's so cool. Great answer. And you really inspired me. You know, I mean, I think I was on your podcast maybe 2 years or a year and a half before starting this my own. And it's been a really fun journey and really incredible, the people that I've been able to meet and engage with. So I love it. For everyone listening, again, this is George Weiner, of Whole Whale, the Whole Whaler, Chief Whaler.
Chief Whaler, yeah.
Chief Whaler.
Rolls off the tongue.
A stumble there. But George, thank you so much again. For people that have been listening along, if you're interested in following up on any of the information that George shared, just go to wholewhale.com. We're going to be pushing out the university to all of our nonprofits. I think it's just really cool, the resources you've created there. So George, thank you so much for being on this episode of the Charity Charge.
Yeah, I think we're going to roll out a discount. So don't just wander into it. We're going to get you a custom discount if you're part of the Charity Charge Network.
Thank you for reminding me. That's correct. You have George to thank for that. Thank you again to everyone that listens to the Charity Charge Show. This has been a ton of fun doing this. So appreciate you very much. Take care until the next episode.
Brilliant. Thanks.